WMF all in red water.
Do you really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
He mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of WMFO.
Push it right to the edge.
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
I only like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
It's time for Mother Nature to show off her wildest colors. Watch as she paints our woodlands red, gold, yellow, and orange. Hi, I'm Linda Goodwin, and this is the Ohio Outdoor Notebook. Fall's shorter days and cooler temperatures cause chemical changes in leaves. As the color green fades, brighter ones take its place. Trees that turn red include oak and dogwood. Yellow and gold leaves show up on black walnut and sycamore. And species with mixed colors include buckeye and sugar maple. Fall color begins in the north during the last week of September, then travels south, with peak color occurring in mid-October for most of the state. Find the best places to enjoy nature's artwork by calling 1-800-BUCKEYE or visiting the web at ohiodnr.com. This is a public service of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and this station. Freak Socks.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you have now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
I was not drunk. I was on pills.
My show, I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to trip like I do.
The government is increasing its power to watch you and diminishing your power to watch the government, and that is extraordinarily dangerous.
Well, what do you want? Can't a man have a little privacy around here?
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Harmony is layers. Built up on top of one another. Like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds.
Computers can do that?
Now, if you all assume positions of subservience, we can complete this caper with a minimum of jeopardy and danger for all. On your knees, knaves!
Thank you.
My question is, given all these demotions, what is your personal religion? Or is there any type of God to you? Like, is there a purpose, given that we're just sitting on this speck in the middle of this sea of stars?
No, I don't want to duck any questions. And I'm not going to duck this one, even though I have high religious personages who are close friends of mine in this room. But let me ask you, what do you mean when you use the word God?
Well, I guess what my question, it's like, is there a purpose for, I mean, given all these demotions, why don't we just blow ourselves up?
Why don't we?
Yeah, what is our purpose? I mean,
let me turn the question around. If we do blow ourselves up, does that disprove the existence of God?
No, guess not.
I mean, it'll be a little late to make the discovery, but still.
Yeah. I guess what I'm asking is, since as we kind of make God almost go away in this, as he, through these demotions, and I don't mean he, because who knows what God is, but
still saying it makes it sort of icky, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's tough.
We like it to be a he, don't we?
Yeah. We've been trained to think of it as a he. It seems that through the ages, humans have created a mythological framework that is always involved some kind of, often involves some kind of higher spiritual powers. And as
every human culture,
as that goes away, as we know more and more that, and it seems harder and harder to prove that anything might exist like that, where does that leave us?
On our own. Which, to my mind, is much more responsible than hoping that someone will save us from ourselves so we don't have to make our best efforts to do it ourselves. And if we're wrong, and there is someone who steps in and saves us, okay, that's all right. I'm for that, but we, you know, hedged our bets. It's Pascal's bargain run backwards. I'll say another word. The word God covers an enormous range of different ideas. And you recognize that in the way you say it. But running from an outsized, light-skinned male with a long white beard sitting in a throne in the sky and tallying the fall of every sparrow, for which there is no evidence, in my mind, if anybody has some, I sure would like to see it. To the kind of God that Einstein or Spinoza talked about, which is very close to the sum total of the laws of the universe. Now, it'd be crazy to deny that there are laws in the universe. And if that's what you want to call God, then of course God is. And there are all sorts of other nuances. There is, for example, the deist God that many of the founding fathers of this country believed in, although it is a secret whose name may not be spoken in some circles, a roi fainéant, a do-nothing king, the god who creates the universe and then retires, and to whom praying to is sort of pointless. He's not here. He went somewhere else. He had other things to do. Now, that's also a god. So when you say, do you believe in God, if I say yes or if I say no, you have learned absolutely nothing.
I guess I'm asking you to define yours if you have.
But why would we use a word so ambiguous that means so many different things?
It gives you freedom to define it.
It gives you freedom to seem to agree with someone else with whom you do not agree. It covers over differences. It makes for social lubrication. But it is not an aid to truth, in my view. And therefore, I think we need much sharper language when we ask this question. Sorry to take so long in answering this, but this is an important issue.
do on a plastic sushi is we always start off with some Japanese music, and then we go mixing it up. We go genre jumping with as many different styles as we possibly can that match our theme du jour. And then there's all the audio clips from who knows where, mixed in between and on top of the music. And then after a couple of years of doing that, I got a little bit restricted, I thought, by that format. And I came up with Tears of the Gods. And with the Tears of the Gods episode, we go deep. We might just have one or two styles of music. Well, there's always more than one. And then we have a feature, one or more features, where we go in depth. And an album or a particular artist. And this week, for the first time ever, our Tears of the Gods feature is a song. Four different versions of the same jazz standard song, Autumn Leaves, which you heard performed first in our intro set by Bill Evans. And overlaid on top of that, we had a question and an answer provided by Carl Sagan, the astronomer, cosmologist, author, and, well, great communicator. And that was from a 1994 talk that he gave, packaged up as The Lost Lectures, The Age of Exploration. And that was, of course, some thoughts on the existence of God. And one thing that he said was talking about God as a he. And, it's not as universally thought of that way as it appeared to be in there. I think in many ways of God, really, in my conception, as being a female form, Mother Earth. And really, really, I mean, in order to have life, you've got to have females first. And so I think that's just Mother Nature, a better, a realistic way of looking at what, if you're going to have to call something God. And as Carl Sagan said, there's many different ways that you could do that and be in agreement with people on the existence of that. So, yes, this evening we're going to hear Eric Clapton, Miles Davis, and then finally Oscar Peterson and Dizzy Gillespie's version of Autumn Leaves, which was a jazz standard composed in 1945 by Joseph Kosma. And then lyrics were subsequently added by others. Also, in our intro set, we heard a song going out to another Pet Shop Boys big fan, Savoir Faire. We'll be coming on at 10 p.m. with songs from the Squid Pod. But that was their song, The Samurai in Autumn. And backing me up right now, my ambiance, is Brian Eno. And this is Dunwich Beach. Autumn, 1960, from his incredible Ambient 4 On Land album of 1982. Also, in this episode, we're going to be hearing the corresponding seasonal piece from Wendy Carlos's epic 1972 double vinyl album, Sonic Seasonings. Fall, of course. In the next set, we're going to be hearing Eric Clapton's very cool cover of Autumn Leaves, along with some Asian music. Leung King is the Picking Persimmons in Autumn is going to be coming up, along with the Autumn Digging Dance from Mr. Ho's Orchestronicticia. And also a song relating to this fine season from Led Zeppelin. But first, First, we're going to be hearing another piece all about fall from Vivaldi, the Baroque composer Vivaldi. And this is, of course, from his Four Seasons, composed in 1718. Between 1718 and 1720, we're going to be hearing just the first movement, the Allegro of his piece, Fall. And also, as I've got this Brian Eno going in the background right now, my ambiance, I'll give you a little heads up. In the second talk break, I'm going to be playing this exact same piece, only backwards. And that works for some kinds of music and not others, but yeah. Pay attention when we come back on that break. But first, yeah, let's get the rest of your Friday night sound collage party going with some Baroque classical celebration of fall from Vivaldi, only here on the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only here on WMFO. In Medford. Tufts. Freeform. Non-commercial. Community. And even sometimes educational radio. Come on, you're gonna learn something. You'll like it.
subject was booked under Section 601, in danger of leading an idle, dissolute, or immoral life.
The fallen leaves drift by my window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips. Summer kisses, the sunburnt hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear.
Authorities had no trouble locating the suspect after getting a call about a pedestrian attacking two moving cars. He was the one with no clothes.
Or just fall apart where I'm standing.
I'm gonna take this now. See? For Mother Nature to show off her wildest colors in Ohio's forests. Watch as she paints our woodlands red, gold, yellow, and orange. Hi, I'm Josiah Wade, and this is the Ohio Outdoor Notebook. Ever wonder what causes this annual colorful transformation? Fall's shorter days and cooler temperatures kick off chemical reactions within tree leaves. The production of the color green slows down. As green fades, the brighter colors that have always been there can now shine through. Tree leaves with a high sugar content, such as maples, oaks, and sweet gums, undergo an additional chemical change, adding red and purple to the palette. Find the best places to enjoy nature's artwork by calling 1-800-BUCKEYE or visiting the Department of Natural Resources on the Internet. This is a public service of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and this station.
You're tuned in to the Tears of the Gods sound collage only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts non-commercial, freeform, and even sometimes educational radio. In this episode, we are celebrating autumn. We're featuring four different versions of the jazz standard Autumn Leaves. And you heard one by Eric Clapton in that last set from his album named Simply Clapton of 2010. We began the set with a song going way back, to like 1720 by the Baroque composer Vivaldi. That was the first Allegro movement in F major from his piece Fall, part of his Four Seasons. And then we heard from Louis Zing, Picking Persimmons in Autumn. And I like persimmons. I got a persimmon tree this year that I planted. Unfortunately, it didn't take, so I'm going to try it again next year. And then it was Eric Clapton with Autumn Leaves, and then it was Mr. Ho's Orchestrotica with the Autumn Digging Dance from Mr. Ho's Third River Rangoon album. And then we finished off the music in that set with some Led Zeppelin and a song about moving on, well, rambling on in the autumn season from Led Zeppelin II. And then a public service Message from Josiah Wade in the Ohio Outdoor Notebook, educating us about why leaves change color. Meanwhile, backing me up right now is the sonically reversed version of Brian Eno's Dunwich Beach, Autumn 1960, from his sonically reversed Ambient 4 On Land album. No, he actually didn't release one sonically reversed. I did that. So, in the next set, we're going to be hearing Miles Davis's incredible version of Autumn Leaves. And overlaid on top of that is going to be some words of wisdom by one of my biggest intellectual idols, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman. This is from an interview that he did, and it's describing, answering, asking the question why, as you will hear. We're also going to be hearing a local band that made it big, Aerosmith, with a song about autumn. But first, we're going to start things off with some more classic rock. Here is Neil Young singing about the autumn harvest moon here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio.
Come a little bit closer. Hear what I have to say. Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising. Let's go dancing in the light. We know where the music's playing. Let's go. We're
'cause I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest
moon. I have got to tell you the most important thing you've ever heard. I've got to tell you now, and I've got to tell you in that pub there.
Why?
Because you're going to need a very stiff drink.
You want to know?
What I want to know is what's going on between these two bits of metal.
It's repelling each other.
Well, then what does that mean, or why are they doing that, or how are they doing it?
You're asking.
I must say, I think that's a perfectly reasonable question.
Of course, it's an excellent question. Okay. But the problem that you're asking, you see, when you ask why something happened, how does a person answer why something happened? For example, Aunt Minnie is in the hospital. Why? Because she slipped on the ice and broke her hip. That satisfies people. It's satisfies, but it wouldn't satisfy someone who came from another planet, knew nothing about things. First, you just understand why. When you break your hip, do you go to the hospital? How do you get to the hospital with the, when the hip is broken? Well, because her husband, seeing that she had the hip was broken, called the hospital up and sent somebody to get her. All that is understood by people. And when you explain a why, you have to be in some framework that you allow something to be true. Otherwise, you're perpetually asking why. Why did the husband call up the hospital? Because husband is interested in his wife's welfare. Not always. Some husbands aren't interested in their wife's welfare. They're drunk and they're angry. And so you begin to get a very interesting understanding of the world and all its complications. In order to, if you try to follow anything up, you go deeper and deeper in various directions. If, for example, you could go, well, why did she slip on the ice? Well, ice is slippery. Everybody knows that. No problem. But you ask, why is ice slippery? That's kind of curious. Ice is extremely slippery. It's very interesting. You say, how does it work? You could either say, I'm satisfied that you've answered me, ice is slippery, that explains it. Or you could go on and say, why is ice slippery? And then you're involved with something, because there aren't many things as slippery as ice. It's very hard to get. Greasy, but that's sort of wet and slimy. But a solid that's so slippery? Because it is in the case of ice that when you stand on it, they say, momentarily the pressure melts the ice a little bit, so you got a sort of instantaneous water surface on which you're slipping. Why on ice and not on other things? Because ice expands when it, water expands when it freezes, so the pressure tries to undo the expansion and melts it. It's capable of melting it, but other substances contract when they're freezing, and when you push them, they're just as satisfied to be solid. Why does water expand when it freezes and other substances don't expand when they freeze? All right? I'm not answering your question, but I'm telling you how difficult a why question is. You have to know what it is that you're permitted to understand and allowed to be understood and known, and what it is you're not. You'll notice in this example that the more I ask why, it gets interesting after a while. That's my idea, that the deeper a thing is, the more interesting it is. And, we could even go further and say, why did she fall down when she slipped? That has to do with gravity. It involves in all the planets and everything else. Never mind. It goes on and on. Now, when you ask, for example, why two magnets repel, there are many different levels. It depends on whether you're a student of physics or an ordinary person who doesn't know